On this episode, a historic day in Parliament through the eyes of key Conservative rebel Anna Soubry. And The Guardian's Simon Hattonstone on how Nigel Farage is gearing up to resist any attempts to stop Brexit. Here's Anna in a hat.
How are you doing? Good to see you.
Good to
see you
again. How's it feeling today?
Well, I don't know. How is one feeling? I mean, yeah, you've got to be right that you've got to see this as an incredibly important day in our country's history. Actually, I think
it's yesterday, Theresa May's Brexit deal was voted down by a majority of 230. It was the biggest defeat for a sitting government in British democratic history.
In up 2.5 hours, but anyway. Oh yeah, I get up very early.
What do you do?
Listen to the radio, go and get some coffee. Actually, I've just done a load of washing.
Clothes washing. Always important to get it out of the way before the big stuff comes.
I know. You do all this domestic stuff. Shouted at the radio quite a lot, which is not a great way to start the morning.
What did you think of Michael Gove saying that if you don't vote for this, winter is coming?
In the words of Jon Snow, winter is coming. I think if we don't vote for the deal tonight, we will do damage to our democracy.
Oh, it's just kind of like grow up.
From early in the morning, we spent the day with one of the most outspoken Tory rebels, whose mission is to secure a second referendum, Anna Soubry.
I know ordinary folk are fed up with it. We're all getting fed up with it. Like, I have to go to Pret, you know, to get another coffee. We have to get loads of coffee.
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, a day with a key Brexit rebel as Theresa May's deal falls.
We just bumped into Hilary Benton. Great.
Good morning.
Hilary. Good morning.
I'm just getting a shot of.
For you?
Well, it's a very important day for the country, and we need as MPs to do the right thing. And I'm going to be fortified by a cup of coffee before I set off to do some further interviews. Are you? You're following.
Yeah, they're following me a bit today.
What do you think of Anna Soubry? How important she been?
She's a very brave parliamentarian because she says what she thinks, and that is what we are elected to do.
And he's brilliant as well. Mutual love, big respect.
So Anna Soubry left us and went off to a meeting. Hopefully we're just about to find out what she was doing. We're now heading to her office in Portcullis House to see how her day is going. Is anyone writing to you saying, don't do this?
Oh, yeah, people are doing that as well and saying I'm a disgrace. We have had 2 death threats this morning.
This morning?
Yeah, the police have been in. I wasn't here because I was in a meeting, but the police came in earlier this morning.
What did they say?
There's been a death threat in a letter, and then there's somebody's rung the constituency office and said that I'm going to die soon.
And so how do you feel about that?
I'm afraid, and this is terrible, Anushka, because I know this is wrong. It's becoming like water off your back, duck's back, honestly.
It feels like the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, what has happened as a result of this Brexit debate?
Well, Brexit's done lifted up a stone on these people. They were always there. I think what worries me is that it gives an authenticity. People think it's the norm. They think it's acceptable. So when they see people doing what happened last Monday...
Absolutely. I do object to being called a Nazi, actually.
Right. Apologies if you're offended by what you're listening to.
I just think this is astonishing.
I think the thing that's upset me more than anything, it was the reaction of, I have to say, some Conservatives locally and some here, I felt. Which was, well, it's your own fault, isn't it? You brought it on yourself. That's what worries me. You've brought it on yourself.
Where have you been this morning? Have you been at a meeting with colleagues across the House?
I often talk to colleagues across the House.
So you're not telling us where you've been earlier?
Oh, no, I'm absolutely not betraying any confidences. But this is an open secret. The people's vote is an all-party campaign. And I don't have a problem with that. And I think that most people listening to this would be delighted to know that members of Parliament work with people on common causes. I would hope that we can make real progress on bringing a people's vote into Parliament so that we can frankly make sure that Jeremy Corbyn and his front bench step up and support it as they promised to do to their party conference. So that's what I want to happen. Whether and how that happens, I do not know. But, you know, it's also important, you know, that we know what the Prime Minister is going to do. I think people are calling out for leadership and she's got to provide it now.
What difference does the scale of the loss make?
People are talking about 200s. I mean, look, this is our biggest moment for a generation. And for the government after 2.5 years, and I'm no doubt, nobody doubts the Prime Minister hasn't worked her socks off on it. But for her deal to fail is in any event very bad. She'll carry on, by the way. But goodness me, in normal times, any Prime Minister would resign in those circumstances.
Nicky Morgan, who you've worked with a lot, because she's on the same side of this debate, is going to back May.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
What is the difference? Why can't you?
Oh, because this will make... If I vote for this, it'll make my constituents poorer. Look, this isn't a clever political game, you know. You know, where people are terribly clever about strategies and all that baloney. This is about doing the right thing by our country, and it would be the wrong thing to do to vote for this deal. Because, one, it's not a deal. It's just the withdrawal agreement. And if you look at that future framework that sets out our future trading relationship, yet to be determined. So we will be leaving without knowing what our future relationship with the European Union is going to be.
Have you been preparing your speech?
I think I know now what I want to say, but I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say. Because knowing me, I won't... I mean, at the moment, I don't even know how long I've got. I've probably got about 2 minutes. Remember, I did speak the first time round. I think we do have to talk about democracy, because this attack that somehow not voting for the Prime Minister's deal is an attack on democracy is absolutely outrageous. Because even though I don't agree with them, there are honourable and right honourable friends on my side of the House who will vote against the Prime Minister's deal for the wholly respectable reason that they think it's wrong for our country.
We've just come out from your office and we are crossing the road from Parliament. It's quite a scene. There are loads of flags, EU flags, Union Jacks with the ring of stars on them, UKIP flags, Leave Means Leave flags.
Keep up your peaceful protest.
Anna,
good luck to you.
Anna.
Yes, go on, darling. Ring the bell because it upsets the microphone.
We disagree politically, yeah. But well done for standing ground.
Thank you.
And whatever else is happening out there, you know, it's not right with what's happening to you.
No, I don't
agree with it.
Thank you.
So,
what
good luck anyway.
We don't agree, but you're entitled to your views, and I think it's terrible that they've been besmirched by the activities of a very, very small group of people who mercifully are not here. You can get on and have your protest and make your voices heard.
We will do, Anna.
But
thank you for giving us permission.
No, darling, I wasn't giving you permission. I'm saying that they had done you a lot of harm, which is not acceptable. So this is the difference. You get these people who are perfectly reasonable, and then you get other shouting.
So essentially,
good luck in your protest.
Anna's being talked to by Leave Means Leave protesters, and they're trying to shake a hand and say, look, we accept that you have a right to campaign, but as we're walking along, a couple of people are really shouting at her.
But they're not. That's just one person.
Or two.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Deputy Speaker, these are all good people. There's only one or two.
Only one. They're not
the people who were out last week.
Have you been doing other interviews? Just
No. I'm with Anoushka from The Guardian.
Okay.
If
we can do them inside, please.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't want anything to
happen. No, these are all right. And I think it's important.
Are you worried about the effect that everyone's having?
Yeah, I am very worried about
members. And is there a lot of pressure on you guys as well?
Nobody should have to face that when it's a member of the public, and certainly not Anna, who are carrying out the duties. I'm appalled. Well, let's get you in.
So that was Lindsay Horan, who's the Deputy Speaker, who is Deputy to John Bercow, and who basically just told Anna, I'd rather you go inside because I'm worried about you. We're going to say bye to you, Anna, because you've got to go in there and make your speech.
Anna C.
Tewkesbury.
It can't be right to vote for this deal on the basis that it's so bad you've actually got some cunning plan of an alternative to it that when it fails you're going to put forward. And it can't be right, and I say gently to dear friends on this side, to vote for this deal on the basis that, as one said to me, my association would tear me to pieces if I didn't. Mr. Speaker, this is a bad deal and we must vote against it.
Oh, here she is.
Oh, right.
This is Anna. She's just made a speech. Can you speak to us quickly? What's the mood inside the hall?
Oh, I mean, it's like always. It's a very good one, actually, because nobody heckled. The really noticeable thing is that at the moment there's nobody standing up making the case for this deal.
All afternoon, MPs from across the House delivered their final speeches in this Brexit debate. It felt as if opposition to Theresa May's deal was hardening through the day.
I shall vote no, no, and no.
She will be remembered as the Prime Minister who has presided over the biggest failure of government and leadership in the United Kingdom in modern times.
Hear, hear.
And then, at just after 7 p.m, the bell rang for the vote. As Anna Soubry headed back into the chamber, we went outside to where a large people's vote rally was gathering on Parliament Square.
So this is a really weird scene. We've basically got two massive screens in Parliament Square. I mean, it looks more like something that would be in place at a concert or a football match. Massive crowds, flags everywhere, loudspeakers as you can hear. But what are we watching? We're watching MPs in the House of Commons voting on Brexit.
The ayes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
And that's Theresa May's Brexit deal dead. And you can hear the crowds behind us, this lot, wanting a people's vote. And they think that that could be the next step.
The government has lost the confidence of this House and this country. I therefore, Mr. Speaker, inform you I have now tabled a motion of no confidence. And I'm pleased that motion will be debated tomorrow so this House can give its verdict on the sharing.
Well, we had a sweepstake in the office about what the majority would be, and nobody went as big as that. That is the biggest defeat in history, and now she's facing a motion of no confidence. It's massive stakes for Brexit. We're going to go and find Heather Stewart to digest it all. So I'm in the Guardian office in Parliament with Heather Stewart, the political editor of the Guardian. Heather, this is unprecedented, the biggest defeat in history for a sitting government. She lost by 230. 118 Tories. How can Theresa May possibly survive?
It is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, there's two reasons she can survive. One is that there's already been an attempt by colleagues who don't support her deal to hold a vote of no confidence in her leadership. That was before Christmas. That failed. And the Tory rules mean that no one else can challenge her leadership of the party for another year. So that's a kind of get out of jail free card. And her other one is a piece of legislation called the Fixed Term Parliaments Act that was put in place by the coalition, the Lib Dem Tory coalition government, which means that just losing a great big vote in Parliament, which she's done several times now, doesn't mean that a government has to fall. It only falls if a formal vote of no confidence, usually tabled by the Leader of the Opposition, is agreed to by Parliament. And that's what we'll see on Wednesday, because the Prime Minister stood up immediately after this kind of extraordinary defeat, really, and said, OK, I hear you.
First, we need to confirm whether this government still enjoys the confidence of the House. I believe that it does, but given the scale and importance of tonight's vote, it's right that others have the chance to test that question if they wish to do so.
And so we're going to have that no confidence vote because Jeremy Corbyn has called it. Weirdly, people think that Theresa May will win it because all these rebels today on Brexit are going to back her. So then she has 3 days to bring back Plan B. What is she going to do?
Right, so it's 3 working days, we should say, or 3 sitting days, as they call it in this place. She said that she's promised to come back you know, she wants to chat to MPs and see if they can come up with some sort of plan that passes through Parliament and might also be negotiable with the EU.
So she'll also go to Brussels?
Yes, exactly. Although her spokesman said this evening she's not going to go immediately. She's not going to go straight back and say we need to do X, Y or Z to the backstop. She's first going to talk to MPs and then go to Brussels and say this is what I think I could get the backing for in Parliament.
So Theresa May basically set out two options if her vote was rejected, either that there won't be Brexit or that we'll be leaving the EU with no deal. What is the chance of that happening?
So it's more likely than it was this morning, right? Because MPs have rejected her deal and the easiest way to prevent no deal is to accept her deal, the one on the table. However, there's a clear majority in Parliament against no deal. So MPs from both main parties have made very clear they will do whatever they can in terms of kind of tabling motions or calling votes to try and prevent no deal happening. But, you know, March 29th is only a few weeks away and the law says as it stands, as passed by this Parliament, we leave on the 29th of March, deal or no deal.
And while all that is happening, the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, has tweeted saying if a deal is impossible and no one wants no deal, who will have the courage to say what the positive solution is? So hinting at the idea of stopping Brexit. Now, I've been following Anna Soubry all day. She wants a people's vote. What is the chance of that happening?
So I still don't think it's likely. There are a lot of MPs and a growing number of MPs who feel it's the only answer because we're deadlocked. MPs are deadlocked in this place. They can't find a way out. But there are other MPs who fear, including the Prime Minister herself, who made this point this evening, but also Labour MPs, including members of the Labour Shadow Cabinet, who fear that A, another referendum campaign would be quite divisive, and B, if you're a Labour MP and you represent a Leave constituency, you know, many of those people are worried that their voters will fear that the party sort of abandoned them or ignoring them and, you know, is trying to overturn the result of the referendum. But, you know, if you're a supporter of a second referendum and if you want Remain, you know, you're not going to let any of those concerns put you off because you think that, you know, they're the lesser evil. And for Anna Soubry, you know, this is the cause of a lifetime and she's not going to give up.
Anna's just come outside from the vote. How did that feel?
To be truthful, I'm actually in a state of shock because of the scale of the majority against the Prime Minister. I mean, she's absolutely, I mean, it's astonishing. I thought we'd be under 100, and 230 is just, this is really serious stuff, this, because the danger is, of course, to her own authority. I think nobody has a will for a change in leader, and I make that very clear. In normal times, you know, the Prime Minister would have resigned on the spot. That would have happened in the past. But we're not in that situation, and I don't make any complaint about that. She'll win tomorrow. The Conservatives will absolutely rally around her, but she's not going to work out what the hell she's going to do next.
What do you think she should do next?
Because I think we've got to crack on with this now. We've got to go through the options, and then when we find that the only majority that exists is for against no deal, get this back to the British people, because it's not good enough people say, oh, well, MPs are paid to make decisions. Well, actually, I do make decisions, and we have made a decision. We don't like her deal, we don't like no deal, but we can't find any, there is no compromise. We've tried. You know, I've spent 2 years looking for a compromise, supporting the single market, the customs union. I've had death threats, I've been threatened with deselection as a result. So it's not, I really don't believe it's going to happen. Get on with it, get it back to the British people and let them decide.
You look a bit shaken up, are you like?
No, I think it's the, I'm just so shocked. It's just this, I know, I never thought it would be that many, 230.
Outside when the Prime Minister was saying, you've not given us an alternative, everyone was chanting, people's vote.
No. She's got to stop these robotic blooming lines. And of course people have given her alternatives. I mean, obviously no deal is the most irresponsible and outrageous one and we don't want that, but we have given her an alternative. I mean, damn it, we've been giving her a blooming alternative for the last 2 years.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
I should be voting against Mr. Corbyn's motion. He's going through the motions, but my God, isn't he bloody useless? God.
But you'd vote with Labour on a people's vote?
No, I want Labour to vote with me on a people's vote. Be true to their conference decision. That's what I want.
This is a huge week for the UK and for Brexit. Follow all our reporting from Heather Stewart and the parliamentary team, our Brexit reporters, diplomatic editor, business writers, Brussels team and many columnists at theguardian.com. Coming up, how hard Brexiteers are preparing for the next stage of this fight.
In today's non-stop world, making quality time for yourself is more important than ever. When you buy a subscription to The Guardian and The Observer, you can look forward to sitting back and leafing through every page at your own pace. From the latest groundbreaking investigations to recipes, reviews, award-winning sports coverage, and more. Subscribe before the 3rd of February and you'll save up to 52% on newspaper subscriptions for a year. Just search Guardian subscriptions.
Now, The Guardian's Simon Hattonstone has been on the trail of campaign group Leave Means Leave and its vice chair, Nigel Farage.
Leave Means Leave have campaigned since the referendum for a hard Brexit. And the more obvious it's become that a hard Brexit is unlikely, the harder they have fought. They present themselves as a cross-party coalition or pressure group, but then you look at the breakdown of the group themselves, you go onto their website and it is phenomenally right-wing Tory and not nearly as mixed as we would be led to believe.
Don't think he's gone away, ladies and gentlemen. He's absolutely here.
And the star of the Leave Means Leave movement is Nigel Farage.
I'm going to try and get the people to let their members of parliament know they will not accept being betrayed.
How big they are is hard to say. Certainly at all their rallies, I went to four of them, one in Bolton, one in Birmingham, one in Bournemouth, all the bees, and then finally one in London. They were sold out. They were probably 1,000 people, sometimes more, and I found them interesting, at times convincing in their arguments, at times really scary. The first one was in Bolton, and the queues were snaking around corner after corner after corner. It was almost exclusively white. It was almost exclusively middle-aged to elderly. What I probably found most interesting was that there's so much talk of this being a working class movement. It's the working class that Farage appealed to. I thought it was largely middle class, lots of business people, very well-dressed, pearly. That's not to say it was exclusively like that, but I felt that was the overwhelming majority. And it was Farage who fired them up.
Please welcome to the stage, Nigel Farage.
They actually play rock music as all of them go up and you find yourself kind of moving your head, moving your body, which is quite alarming that you find yourself doing that. And everyone in the crowd is whooping, whooping, whooping.
I didn't think we'd have to do this again.
And the thing about Farage is he's a really, really good demagogue. And everywhere I went, Farage was a star.
And I thought our politicians would deliver. Well, they haven't. So you know what? We're back and we'll fight them again.
He's like any populist. The politicians are the elite. Even though he's a lifelong politician, he somehow has the knack of presenting himself as above politics, beyond politics, outside politics. So the message is that the politicians are betraying the public. And he has an astonishing way of delivering, which is that he breaks down every sentence, every word in every sentence, to its own sentence. So he'll say,
"And yet today,
they are telling us,
they tell us
that we did not
we didn't know
what we voted for. Fighting for." Their arguments are simpler than those of the Remainers. They have the best songs, the best sound bites. So it leaves me dubious about a second referendum. It leaves me feeling that people's views are ever more entrenched. He wants people to go and scare politicians effectively to, in his words, make them feel the heat. At the final rally, he was basically trapped by his fans and they were desperate to talk to him. And I shouted out at him, "So, Nigel, no more Mr. Nice Guy?" Because that was a quote he'd used repeatedly. I wanted to know what it meant. He'd already left, but he turned round on his feet and faced up to me and he said, "Absolutely. If we are forced to have a second referendum, you're going to see a very different Nigel Farage. I'm not going to play nice anymore." Well, in my opinion, I never thought Nigel Farage did play nice, so I would not look forward to Nigel Farage Mark II.
That's all for today. If you're enjoying Today in Focus, please do subscribe, rate us, leave a review, or even tell a friend. Today was a massive team effort from our producers with Elizabeth Cassin, Rachel Humphreys, Josh Kelly, Lucy Greenwell, Amar Kalia, and Rose Dallara-Beatty. Sound design was by Axel Cocoutier. The executives were Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. See you tomorrow.